You understand that sometimes you're supposed to do something, but you're supposed to wait on the Lord? And if you try to go off on your own timetable, you cause people a lot of pain. How can you tell if it's God's time? Pray about it. Talk to people who have good fruit in their life that seem spiritually mature and say, you know, this is what God has laid on my heart. Do you think it's time to do this? Another thing to look for, is there an open door? If the door is not yet open, doesn't mean it's always going to be closed, but it's not yet open. So it may not be God's time to do that.
Welcome to Cross the Bridge with David McGee, the senior pastor of The Bridge in Kernersville, North Carolina. Today, we have Neil in the studio, who is one of David McGee's assisting pastors. Welcome, brother.
Yeah, Bob, good to be here with you again today. And today we're going to be talking about if we're going to be doing things God's way, it includes doing them in God's timing.
But I want to do it in my timing, when I'm ready.
Yeah, Bob, did you hear the things that you said? I want to do them in my timing, in my way. And so we can't be doing it God's way if we are choosing our timing. And so Pastor David is going to be sharing that with us today.
Well, I hope he helps us out with this difficult subject in 2 Samuel chapter 15 as he continues sharing verse by verse.
This chapter is continuing with the tension that is between Absalom and David. And, you know, I suspect the tension might have started way back when with Bathsheba, and then certainly continued as Amnon raped Tamar, Tamar being Absalom's sister. Absalom didn't feel like David really took appropriate action. And so Absalom planned for a couple of years and then killed Amnon and then ran off for a few years and then kind of worked his way back in. I'm not sure, we talked about last week, not sure it was really time for restoration or if Absalom even had yet gotten the heart needed for restoration, but you know, they were kind of thrown back into it. So there's a lot of stuff that we learned last week. And we can see, you know, in that theory that I talked about last week, that the restoration came too quickly and it also came without the fruit needed for restoration. We see Absalom back in the kingdom and he's been given a place in the king's court. And we're going to look and see what he does with that opportunity. Because it tells a lot, friend, what you or somebody else does with the opportunities that are presented to them. Everybody in this life, in this world, they get opportunities. What you make of those opportunities determines the fruit of your Christian life to a large degree. So here we are, 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 1. After this had happened, and all that I just said, after this had happened, that Absalom provided himself with chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. Now Absalom would rise early and stand beside the way to the gate. So it was whenever anyone who had a lawsuit came to the king for a decision that Absalom would call to him and say, "What city are you from?" And he would say, "Your servant is from such and such a tribe of Israel." Verse 3, and then Absalom would say to him, "Look, your case is good and right, but there is no deputy of the king to hear you." Moreover, Absalom would say, "Oh, that I were made judge in the land, and everyone who has any suit or cause would come to me, then I would give him justice." And so it was, whenever anyone came near to bow down to him, that he would put out his hand and take him and kiss him. Verse 6, in this manner, Absalom acted toward all Israel who came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. Now it came to pass after 40 years that Absalom said to the king, "Please let me go to Hebron and pay the vow which I made to the Lord." One thing we're going to notice, too, is the ones, and you might have just said, "Well, God, that was really strong, you know, to avoid the Absalom." But you know what? We're going to see in the next couple of chapters what happens to those who follow Absalom. Friend, it's not good. It's not good. Why? Because they followed Absalom, and they didn't mark those who were causing division and avoid them. So that sounds strong, but it's for your spiritual benefit. Verse 8. "For your servant took a vow while I dwelt in Geshur in Syria, saying, 'If the Lord indeed brings me back to Jerusalem, then I will serve the Lord.'" Absalom just gives us so much gunpowder to shoot him with in this chapter, man. Look at this statement, and it's a convicting one. I'm going to warn you before we dig into it, but look what he says. "If the Lord indeed brings me back to Jerusalem, then I will serve the Lord." Ooh, it's going to hurt a little bit, okay? If, then. There's probably, don't raise your hands to this one, But there's probably people in this room that have said something like that to God. God, if you get me out of this, I will never do this again. At least not till Monday or next week sometime. And then somehow God listens and honors those prayers, gets you out of a situation. Guess what happens? You do the same thing again. Friend, are you attaching conditions to serving the Lord? Well, God, if you do this, then I'll do that. Are you negotiating with God? Are you in a place where you can negotiate with God like that? Or let me say it even stronger. Is that an attempt to manipulate God? God, if you do this, then I'll do that. If that's true, friend, what is your motivation in serving God? Well, I'm serving God because He did that. He did what? Well, you know, I gave Him that ultimatum, and God did what was best for Him. Hooked me up, so now I'm going to serve Him. Careful. When you think like that, you're always going to find a reason not to serve God. You'll just always find it in that if-then scenario. If God, you would lead me to the perfect church, then I would serve you. Guess what? You never got to worry about serving God. God, if I had more time, if you could give me 28 hours a day and give everybody else 24 hours a day, then I would serve you. What is your reason / excuse for not serving God? I've heard a lot of them. Maybe not all of them, but most of them. And can I honestly say I don't think I've ever heard one that was valid. The if-then scenario. And here's why I say that. Because that little statement, it says a lot about Absalom, doesn't it? Absalom says to God, God, if you do this, then I'll serve you. Whose shadow is he standing in? The shadow of King David, the son of King David. King David, who said, God, you want me to take on Goliath? I'm there, man. And whether I live or die, I'm yours. Took on a bear. Took on a lion. David, who ran from Saul for years because Saul was trying to kill him. And yet David never spoke against God. He didn't even speak against Saul. Even could take his life twice and didn't. Even this guy's trying to kill him. And David had such an incredible heart towards God. He says, you know what? I'm not going to touch God's anointed. God will let me know when I'm supposed to be king. Wow, compare that to Absalom. Verse 9, David ever gracious. And the king said to him, go in peace. So he arose and went to Hebron. Verse 10, then Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, as soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, then you shall say, Absalom reigns in Hebron. Absalom never intended to go and worship God. The whole thing was just utter deceit. And the fact that he could do that and such a, you know, mislead his father, say, Dad, I'm going to serve the Lord. All the while, he's intending to try to take over the kingdom. It's really deceitful. And it really tells us a lot about, again, Absalom's spiritual condition that, you know, to fling around the name of God and the service of God like that, he has no love and nor appreciation for the Lord, I don't think. And again, the interesting thing is, had Absalom waited, he very well could have been king. He was the next in line. It would have been a big deal for David to skip over him to go to Solomon. I'm not saying he wouldn't have done it or he wasn't going to do it anyway, but at least it would have been a bigger ordeal. But Absalom was not willing to wait. You understand that sometimes you're supposed to do something, but you're supposed to wait on the Lord? And if you try to go off on your own timetable, you cause people a lot of pain. That's the next life lesson. Doing things God's way includes doing them in God's time. Doing things God's way includes doing them in God's time. How can you tell if it's God's time? Pray about it. Talk to people around you. Talk to people who have good fruit in their life that seem spiritually mature and say, you know, this is what God has laid on my heart. Do you think it's time to do this or not? Another thing to look for, is there an open door in which to step through? If the door is not yet open, doesn't mean it's always going to be closed, but it's not yet open. So it may not be God's time to do that. Verse 11. And with Absalom went 200 men invited from Jerusalem. And look at this. And they went along innocently and did not know anything. They didn't know what was going on. Absalom must have told them, hey, we're going to go out here. We're going to have like a church service. Yeah, that's it. We're going to have this thing to God, and you're invited. They didn't know what was going on. And that's the way, you know, a lot of times division happens. Somebody, there's a lack of information somewhere in there, and people take advantage of that lack of information. Absalom didn't go to these men and say, hey, you know what, I'm starting a rebellion. Want to join in? We're going to rebel against King David. He didn't say that. Why didn't he say that? Well, because people that are causing division, rarely do they ever say, now look, what I'm getting ready to say is a really divisive statement. So these 200 guys kind of get sucked into this. Verse 12, then Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gilonite, David's counselor from his city, from Gilo, while he offered sacrifices, and the conspiracy grew strong. For the people with Absalom continually increased in number. This guy Ahithophel is extremely interesting. It's rare that I'll go forwards, but go with me to chapter 16, verse 23, because I want you to look at this verse. This Ahithophel was gifted by God, incredibly smart man. 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 23 says, now the advice of Ahithophel, which he gave in those days, was if one had inquired at the oracle of God, so was all the advice of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. Now flip back to this chapter. I think when David heard that Ahithophel had gone over, David was more concerned, because Ahithophel had been his friend, had been his confidant. As a matter of fact, in the book of Psalms, when it says, you know, when I was glad to go to the house of the Lord, and you and I accompanied, we went to the house of the Lord together, that was probably written by David about Ahithophel. So we're going to look a little bit deeper into the life of Ahithophel in just a minute.
You're listening to Pastor David McGee on Cross the Bridge. He'll be back with more in just a moment. But first, if you haven't been to our website at crossthebridge.com yet, what are you waiting for? Go to crossthebridge.com to learn more about how listeners like you are helping get the life-changing truth of God's Word to more people through the radio, internet, and mobile technologies. At crossthebridge.com, you can also check out our broadcast schedule, listen to more teaching from Pastor David, and sign up for Pastor David's free daily devotional. And there's more there too. So visit crossthebridge.com today. Now, here's Pastor David as he continues sharing verse by verse.
Verse 13. Now a messenger came to David saying, the hearts of the men of Israel are with Absalom. Man, how it must have grieved David. He's done all these things and shed blood and fought, and yet now this announcement that the men of Israel were with Absalom. And yet, you know, David the whole time was going, man, this is horrible fruit. This is, because remember, Nathan said the sword is going to always be in your house. And what David is watching unfold in front of his eyes is some of the fruit of the bad fruit. Now, verse 14, so David said to all his servants who were with him at Jerusalem, arise and let us flee, or we shall not escape from Absalom. Make haste to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring disaster upon us and strike the city with the edge of the sword. Was David afraid? Yes and no. Was David afraid of Absalom, or was he afraid of battle or afraid of the fight? Absolutely not. Was David afraid of people getting hurt? Yes, he was. And I believe that was one of his main motivators in getting out of the city. He didn't want to see the city engaged in civil war. And he saw it was going that way. And so he said, you know what? We're going to leave town. We're going to get out of here so that this city is not destroyed by the civil war. I think a very brave thing, very courageous thing. It doesn't look brave on the face of it. But here's the thing. A godly leader is always fearful of people getting hurt. Always fearful of people getting hurt. I think it was David's fear that people were going to get hurt. He knew people were going to get hurt. Now, here's the life lesson. Whenever there is division, people get hurt. Sometimes it's the person causing division. Sometimes it's a person listening to division. But people always get hurt in division. That's why, you know, again, I cringe. And you think, well, don't you get used to people being divisive as the churches? No, man, I never get used to it. Because every time I hear it, I don't think, wow, that hurts me or that wounds me. Or I don't even think, oh, gee, you know, what if some people follow them out? I just know people are going to get hurt. I know people are going to get hurt when it comes to that. That's what grieves me. And I think that's, you know, David wants to get the battle out because he doesn't want the women and the children of the city engaged in the civil war. Verse 15, and the king's servant said to the king, we are your servants, ready to do whatever my lord the king commands. Isn't that awesome? That's commitment. And you're going to see commitment from them and also from somebody else. And notice what they didn't. They didn't pop up and say, David, here's what you got to do. David, here's what you should do. I got a plan, David. Now, David says, leave the city. You know, some of them are thinking, leave the city. It's a bad plan. But did they say that? No. David, we're with you. You see the level of commitment? I'm sure some of them disagreed with that plan to leave the city. But they said, you know, they didn't say, well, David, I think you ought to do this. David, I think you ought to do that. They said, you know what? You're the king. Whatever you think, we're with you. Verse 16, then the king went out with all his household after him. But the king left 10 women, concubines, to keep the house. And the king went out with all the people after him and stopped at the outskirts. Then all his servants passed before him, and all the Cherethites, and all the Pelethites, and all the Gittites, 600 men who had followed him from Gath, passed before the king. And then the king said to Ittai the Gittite, why are you also going with us? Return and remain with the king, for you are a foreigner and also an exile from your own place. I think part of why David is getting out of town too, I think he needed time to think and pray. He would not be human if he wasn't upset and he wasn't hurt. And I think he did not want to make a decision about what to do and how to do it in the midst of this. And getting out and praying and giving himself some time to think would be a good thing. And also, you know, I don't think David wanted to fight Absalom. I think as we read on, that the scripture is going to bear that out. I don't think David wanted to fight Absalom. Now, his hand was going to be forced in that. And you know what? It's kind of sad because, well, I don't want to ruin the story if you haven't read ahead. It's not going to end well with Absalom if you haven't already figured that one out. And I think David, in avoiding the small battles with his son, lost a big battle. Parents, take note of that. Because sometimes you may have to hurt your child in an emotional sense or in that small battle so that they don't lose the big battle. Look, every parent has to battle the will of the child. That's just, and the only people sitting in here going, that's wrong, you don't have kids, okay? Because, I mean, when you have children, it's set up, your will against their will. There's just, you know, and if you're trying to be your child's best friend, I'm sorry, it's not going to work. Because at some point, there's going to be that disagreement, and you're going to have to say, look, I'm the mom, I'm the dad, you're not, and this is the way we're going to do it. The reality is if you don't have those small battles with your children, they're going to engine themselves in a big battle. And it's going to hurt far worse than the little ones. But look at the difference again in verse 19. The king says to Ittai, he says, you know what, go on back. Contrast that to Absalom. Absalom's trying to gather all these people. David's actually taking this guy and saying, go back to Jerusalem. We'll sort this out. I don't want to see it end badly with you. Now look at his statement. Here's what I believe. David's not sure at this point if he's still going to be king. And part of why he's leaving town is he's saying, you know what, God, whatever you want, whatever your will is. If it's for me to be king, I'll be king. If it's for me not to be king, I won't be king. The man is willing to give up his kingship for God according to the perfect will of God. How convicting is that? Because when God doesn't do a certain thing in a certain way in our lives, what's our reaction? God, don't you know any better? Don't you know what you're doing? Don't you know the way I want this to go? When you're agreeing with God and the things in your life and you're like, oh God, I see the wisdom. Lord, I see the wisdom in that. Lord, I see the wisdom in giving me lots of money. Lord, I see the wisdom in blessing me. Lord, I see the wisdom in all those things. But then let it go the other way. God, what are you doing? That's when it plays out whether you're really in submission or not, when you don't agree with God. And in authority structure relationships, you can't tell whether you're in submission to your boss or whoever until you disagree with them. And then you'll find out whether it's submission or whether it's agreement. David is in complete submission to God. If it goes the way he wants it, that's fine. If it doesn't, he's okay too. Verse 20, David continues talking to Ittai and he says, in fact, you came only yesterday. Should I make you wander up and down with us today since I go, I know not where? Return and take your brothers back. Mercy and truth be with you. Human wisdom and logic, David would have been gathering everybody he could to fight against Absalom. But what's David's heart? To bless people. And he says, you know, I don't know where I'm going. Why don't you go back to Jerusalem? He's trusting God. Where's that trust come from? David's seen it over and over. He stood before this huge man, Goliath, with just a sling and a stone. And he knew it doesn't take much to take down the enemies of God. But he was looking after this guy. Meanwhile, Absalom's manipulating people to follow him. Verse 21, but Ittai answered the king and said, as the Lord lives and as my lord the king lives, surely in whatever place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also your servant will be. Man, look at the commitment these people have to David. This had to be a blessing to David. Now, why were they committed to David? Because again, David had proven himself through service and sacrifice. And you understand, as a believer, there should be commitments in your life. There are certain things you should be committed to. You should be committed to God, obviously. You should be committed to your family, obviously. You should be committed to a church. I'm not saying this church, but if this is your church, you should be committed to it. Does that mean just kind of, going along till you agree with it? No, there should be a commitment. A commitment. And I think sometimes we throw that word around, but these people are joining David when it looks like they're joining the losing side. Absalom's taken over the city. He's got Ahithophel. He's got a lot of people. And yet in the midst of that, these people are saying, David, we're with you. We're with you. So you have to ask yourself. And again, we see these personalities playing out. Are you an Ittai? Are you an Absalom? Are you committed even when things don't look good? Things seem to be going poorly? Or does it just take a little thing and then all of a sudden your heart's divided and off and run? And we have the capability to be either. We make our choices. So David, verse 22, so David said to Ittai, go and cross over. Then Ittai the Gittite and all his men and all the little ones who were with him crossed over. And all the country wept with a loud voice and all the people crossed over. The king himself also crossed over the brook Kidron. And all the people crossed over towards the way of the wilderness. Verse 24, there was Zadok also and all the Levites with him, bearing the Ark of the Covenant of God. And they set down the Ark of God. And Abiathar went up until all the people had finished crossing over from the city. This is interesting because there's some prophetic significance to the things they're saying. We'll read a couple more verses and kind of review back. In verse 25, then the king said to Zadok, carry the ark of God back into the city. If I find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me back and show me both it and his dwelling place. But if he says thus, I have no delight in you, here I am. And let him do to me as seems good to him. Golly, you see the heart of David? Whatever happens, I'm okay. You ever hear somebody say, I want what I deserve? No, you don't. Seriously, don't ever say that. Because you understand biblically what you deserve is hell, death, punishment, eternally. So be careful about saying, well, I want what I deserve. I don't want what I deserve. I want grace and mercy. So when something occasionally bad happens, why is it that we get so offended? When really in those moments, maybe I should just speak personally. In those moments, I'm just getting what I deserve. Probably not even. I'm probably just getting a portion of what I deserve when bad things happen. I don't know why I'm surprised when bad things happen. I should be surprised when good things happen because it shows the grace and the mercy of God. And this heart of David is just so revealing and so convicting because he's king. This isn't like, his car broke down. This isn't just like he lost his job or maybe got demoted or something like that. This is the king of Israel. And he's saying, you know what? He's basically, if you will, casting his crown before God and saying, you know what? Whatever you want. If you don't want me to put it back on, I won't put it back on. And I think this is part of why God calls David a man after his own heart. It's really astounding. And he's sending the ark back in. I mean, would you do that? I'm so convicted. I am so convicted because, I saw Raiders of the Lost Ark. We need the ark. We'll sit it right and then we'll call them into a field and then we'll take the lid off. And, he sends it back in. Verse 27, the king also said to Zadok the priest, are you not a seer? Return to the city in peace and your two sons with you. Ahimaaz and son and Jonathan, the son of Abiathar. See, I will wait in the plains of the wilderness until word comes from you to inform me. Therefore, Zadok and Abiathar carried the Ark of God back to Jerusalem, and they remained there. See, David's doing a lot of things that just he shouldn't be doing if he was thinking in a military strategy sort of way.
Friend, do you know for sure that your sins have been forgiven? You can know right now. I want to lead you in a short, simple prayer, simply telling God you're sorry and asking Him to help you to live for Him. Please, pray this prayer with me out loud right now. Dear Jesus, I believe you died for me that I could be forgiven. And I believe you were raised from the dead that I could have a new life. and I've done wrong things. I have sinned, and I'm sorry. Please forgive me of all those things. Please give me the power to live for you all of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, according to the Bible, you've been forgiven, you've been born again. So congratulations, friend, you just made the greatest decision that you will ever make. God bless you.
If you prayed that prayer with David for the first time, we'd love to hear from you. You can visit crossthebridge.com to receive our First Steps package with helpful resources to help you begin your walk with Christ. You can also write to Cross the Bridge at P.O. Box 12515, Winston-Salem, North Carolina 27117, and share how God is working in your life. Now, before we go, in a world that seems chaotic at every turn, Jesus wants you to experience peace this year. He wants you to experience His shalom, which is wholeness, joy, and hope, no matter what the circumstances are that you face every day. Neil, do we have a resource that can help our listeners with this?
Yeah, Bob. Pastor David wrote a simple book that can show you how to experience this shalom that you were just talking about. It's easy to read and full of great analogies to share powerful biblical truths. Cross the Bridge to Life, Discover Your Adventure will be a blessing to any of our listeners, Bob.
You know, that's a great gift to thank any of our listeners that financially support us to help more people cross the bridge from death to life. Go to crossthebridge.com to request your copy today.
Also, each day you can wake up with encouragement from Pastor David through the Word of God with his email devotional. Life lessons to consider, daily reading plan, and even biblical thoughts to meditate on throughout your day from the heart of Pastor David.
Yes, Neil, and it's free and easy to sign up today at crossthebridge.com. Thanks again for listening, folks, and we hope you'll join us next time as we continue studying verse by verse through 2 Samuel.